me say this. Some of you are going through some challenges. The fact that you're in this church ever since you started coming here, maybe some things have gone wrong in your life. Guess who that could be credited to? Well, you know, the devil doesn't want you to progress. Satan is very upset when the believers start making progress. And I've noticed in my own life many times when Terry and I go to conferences or hear a fresh word from God that is starting to lift our life to a higher dimension, there's always a challenge that meets us along the way. And so just understand that. And that's why that verse is so significant. Don't throw away your confidence. Amen. Don't quit. Because the enemy knows that you're making progress, and that's why he turns up the heat. That's just normal. That is to be expected. Amen? We read some verses last week about Paul, or Wednesday night, actually. I was sharing from Paul's writings where he said, we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Yes. We're troubled by, surrounded by troubles, but we're not crushed. Amen? There's some wonderful words there in his writings because this guy knew a lot of suffering. But let me just encourage you with that you that are pressing into God, you're making progress spiritually, do not give in to the enemy's plans for you, for discouraging you or making you think, well, man, I thought, you know, since I started giving my life more to Jesus, things would go better. They will. Just hang in there. Amen? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. From time to time, it's good for us to look close at our salvation, to look close at what Jesus has really done for us, to pause and to take a good hard look at the depths from which Jesus saved us, to contemplate where we would be today without his intervention. Have you thought of that lately? Where would you be if Jesus hadn't stepped into your life when he stepped into your life? If he hadn't intervened when he did? Amen? So we're going to do that today. I'm going to let's just pray. We're going to get right into the Word of God. Father, thank you for your Word. We thank you for the understanding that comes by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you illumine our hearts now more than what I can declare from a human standpoint. Lord, you are the teacher here in this room, and we acknowledge you, the teacher with the capital T. And you speak, and you comfort, and you instruct, and you guide us in the way we should go. Thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, in doing this, in stopping and pausing to reflect on our salvation and really look at close at where we would be, it's good a long life's journey to do that. Peter said that people who don't do that, if they forget where they've come from, they lose a loving heart. And they quit bearing fruit. Look at 2 Peter in your Bibles, please. Chapter 1. We're going to start there with the Apostle Peter's writing on this regard. 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through 11. Would you turn there, please? Hey, let me say this about carrying your Bible to church. This is an awfully big book to walk around in public with. But let me say this. Years ago, I remember I used to carry this church. You know, I'd walk into church. Other churches we were a part of in years past. I think, man, this is a gangly old book. I mean, not old book. This is a gangly book. It's a big old book to carry around, you know, in public. But let me tell you something. Just being a believer, you're already weird in the eyes of the world, all right? So just get over it. Just get over it. Carry the book, all right? 2 Peter 1. Your neighbors think you're weird. If they see you talking, calling in the rain, you know, calling in an airstrike from the rains, they already think you're weird just for following Jesus. Just let them go on with their weirdness. All right, 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, add to your virtue knowledge, add to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, finally what? Charity or love. Right? That's the highest mark for a believer. Listen, you want to see someone who really knows the Lord? They're the most loving people on earth. There's a lot of angry, grumpy, hard to be around church people. Yeah. They hardly know the Lord. But people who know the Lord, they are excelling in what?
Love.
That's what Peter said here. Now, verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things, listen, next time you are challenged in the line at a restaurant or at Walmart or at the gas station or whatever, where your patience is challenged, count it all joy.
Yes.
Count it all joy that you are being stretched to show the qualities of Jesus in public. Amen. Do not count that as a suffering. Count that as an opportunity to show the love of Jesus, the patience of Jesus. That's what the word's telling us here. If these things are in you, you won't be barren. You won't be unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus. In other words, something should happen when, if you say you know Jesus, there should be some fruit in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 9, but he that lacks these things is what? He's blind. Wow. I don't want to be blind in the Lord. That's a terrible, terrible thing. For as much as Jesus has given to me, for me to forget and lose sight of all the patience, the mercy that he's had on my life, and to become spiritually blind, that's a terrible indictment. He that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, you notice anytime the apostles wrote a word of correction, they would say, if you keep going this way, this is what's going to happen. But rather, right? I love that. I like the rather. I like the, but let's go this way, right? Paul would say something, but we believe better things, things that accompany salvation. Amen. And he says here, but rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling, your election sure. If you do these things, you'll never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wow. That's talking about your reward, your future reward. He's saying if you'll continue bearing fruit, you'll have something to walk into when you walk into glory. Won't that be great? Amen?
Yeah.
For a few of you. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yes, it will be great. We want an entrance. Don't you want an entrance? Don't you want them to sound the horns when you walk into glory? Here's Katie, here's John, here's Stephen. They were so patient, they allowed Jesus to cultivate patience in their heart while they were on earth. Da, 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 da. An entrance, amen? We want an entrance when we walk into glory. We don't want a quiet entrance where like, well, you just barely got in, but come on in. No, we don't come in the back door. We want an entrance. We want to blow the place wide open, amen? That's what Peter's talking about here. He's saying if these qualities abound in you, but you've got to do something to allow these qualities to abound. And it's called, well, that word we don't want to talk about very often in church, suffering. Suffering. Oh, we'll talk about that more later. All right. Turn to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. None of us want to talk about suffering. But see, in this world we're living in, somebody's got to break the cycle. Exodus chapter 1. While you're turning there. Somebody's got to break the cycle. You see, everybody can go keep going along with the flow because there's evil in the world. You know, the line's long and the person in front of you is fussing about it. You might as well fuss about it too. Or you could be different. I said you could be different.
Yes.
You could be the salt of the earth. You could be the light of the world. You can be different. Mm-hmm. You can find something to rejoice about in that moment. In the Lord, you can dig deep. This is what my wife tells me sometimes when I need to do it in terms of character. She says, dig deep, Scott. Come on, dig deep. And it's important that we dig deep. Why? Because as we dig deep, we find that inside of here is a spirit being who looks just like Jesus. It'd be nice if we let him out now and then. Amen. And behave like, it's important for Christians to behave like Jesus. I can't believe we have to say that in church here in the West, but we do sometimes. We have to be reminded. We're supposed to look like Jesus. Amen. That's the goal. God's goal for you is not just a happy life. Although if you follow Jesus, you will have a happy life, truly happy. But higher than that, God's goal for you is to look like Jesus. And in that conforming process to become like Jesus, there's going to be some rough edges knocked off.
Yep.
Selfishness, impatience, rage. We won't go down the rage road today. Other things. Mm-hmm. In order for you to become like Jesus.
Yeah.
But it's important that we yield to that. Amen?
Yeah.
Look at Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. The Lord just, I was outside the other day just doing my morning jog routine and Lord just spoke to me about Moses, and I felt like this is what was his word for today. In Exodus chapter 1, we see the story of Moses and how he was a baby boy. He was drawn out of the water. Let's read it here in Exodus 1:22. Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife of the daughter of Levi. I want you to note something here. The people of Israel were close to God's heart. They were his covenant people. The Levites were even closer. Okay? You see the picture? These were, you know, they were covenant. The Israelites were covenant people with God. They were a unique nation. And within that nation, the Levites were given wholly to the service of God. Amen? This is like the holiest of the holiest. Okay? So he was a Levite. He took a wife of the Levites. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw he was a goodly child, every mother feels that about their child. He's a goodly child. She hid him for 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and pitch. There's an interesting side note there. That's what Noah used for the ark too, isn't it? And what was that? That pitch was a scent in the Hebrew word, kafar, I think it is. It's the similar word as we get from the word atonement. Atonement, a covering, a covering. All right, so there's a picture there of Moses being covered, being atoned for. Slime and pitch were covered in the ark that she put the child in, and she had it in the flags or the reeds by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. King James is a little bit hard to read on Sunday morning this early. To wit what would be done to him. Okay. I hope you're using a modern translation. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, she just happened to be right there, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. What a great privilege that was for Moses' mother. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." I love it. The name Moses means to draw out, to draw out. It's a picture of being drawn out of the water. And in leading a nation out of 400 years of bondage, he led them through what? The Red Sea. Moses took Israel right through the Red Sea, which typified his own drawing out from water, his own deliverance. And the sea became for Israel a supernatural path to the promised land and a final burial ground for their enemies. I'm reading from my notes because I like the way I worded it. This is original, by the way. The sea became a supernatural path to the promised land and a final burial ground for their enemies. Amen? Likewise, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus became for us the entrance into a wonderful new life. Amen? Not just a new life, but a wonderful new life. Amen? And a complete defeat of Satan and his works. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, whatever the devil was trying to do in your life before you got saved, it's finished. It's over now. He's cut off. Amen. When you got baptized into the Lord Jesus, when you got put into Christ at salvation, when you got I hope you got baptized in water too. There was a definite cutting away of that old nature. Amen. And every enemy of yours that was trailing you and tracking you, that's been after your parents, your grandparents, every part of your family tree has been cut off in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what we see in the life of Moses. He was drawn out of the water, and he took a whole nation and drew them out of the water of the Red Sea. I mean, God brought them out supernaturally through the Red Sea into a new life and destroyed all their enemies in the process. Glory to God. Well, throughout the scriptures, waters are a picture for us of being overwhelmed. Waters like that we see at the Red Sea. The children of Israel were certainly overwhelmed when they got there. Amen. They were like, "There's no other way." And God said, "Don't be overwhelmed by the waters. Just stretch out your hand, Moses. Do the thing that we talked about, Moses." Amen. And years ago, it's been a while, but we used to go to Destin every year for vacation, hang out at the beach and just stare at the water. It's just so pretty. And some of the years in recent times that we'd go there, they'd have the yellow flags out. How many of you are familiar with the flag codes? Red means you can't get in at all. Yellow means you can get in, but it's at your own risk. And us being familiar with Galveston, we weren't scared at all. We'd just jump on in there. We'd be about the only Texans in there. But, the waves would just be pounding you sometimes when those yellow flags were out. But you had a pretty sure footing. You didn't get in too deep. You didn't get in over your head for sure. You don't want to be stupid about it. But we had a great time, and that's a playful thing, being in with rough waves when you can stand on solid ground. Amen. But there's times in life when things get overwhelming to us and we don't have a solid footing. Amen. And in those times, it's not playful time in the waves. Amen. It can be life threatening. Look at Psalms 18 and verse 16 in your Bible. Psalms 18. David's writing here, and he describes this sense of being overwhelmed by deep waters. Psalm 18:16, he says, "He," speaking of God, "he reached down from on high. He took hold of me. He drew me out." Who does that sound like? Moses. Amen. Praise the Lord. Moses is a type of you, by the way. You know, there are all kinds of symbols in the Bible, and Moses really is a symbol of the average of the believer. And God, just like God drew Moses out of the water, God drew you out of waters that would have been deadly for you. Amen. And he says here, "He drew me out of deep waters." Deep waters. What are deep waters? These are life-threatening waters. These are waters that you can't stand in, that you eventually will run out of energy to tread. Amen. You can only tread water in deep waters so long, and then your strength gives out. Amen. Some of you might be there today. You're thinking, "Man, I don't know how much longer I can fight this. I don't know how much longer I can sustain in this battle that I'm in and not go under." Let me tell you something. The Lord will draw you out. Out of deep waters. There's nothing so deep for Jesus. Amen. "He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me," verse 17, "from the powerful enemy, my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support." Aren't you glad for Jesus? Amen. Thank God for Jesus. A compassionate human intervention person, high priest on our behalf. Verse 19, "He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." Let me tell you something. Jesus is all about your good today. Amen. You delight the heart of Jesus. You know, there are certain joys in the human heart that even your spouse, your family members might think you're a little bit nutty to be happy about. Certain things that just, you know, tickle you. Certain things that are a joy to your heart. And like I said, they may seem so little, so insignificant to the ones around you, you're almost hesitant to share them. But you know, to Jesus, those things are precious. You delight Jesus. He says here, he rescued me. He brought me out simply because he delights in me. Amen. May we never get so far along in the Christian walk that we lose the wonder, that sense of, "I delight the heart of Jesus." That's why he saved me. Jesus is delighted in me. And you're all so unique. I mean, each human heart is like a universe in its own right. Each human heart is so unique in the joys that delight it, the things that can, you know, all the things that interest you, all the things that are precious to you, those are unique to you. Amen? And he delighted, the scripture says, in us. Let me tell you something. God has really, really good plans for all of us.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Plans beyond our wildest imaginations. Plans that, you know, I remember hearing a story years ago of a guy who he had all his childhood, he had dreamed of being a soccer star. And he got to a point in life where he said one day he had this vision, and it was like a mirror that was split in two. And on one side of the mirror, he saw life as it would have been had he followed that path of his own choosing to be a soccer star. And the vainglory that's associated with our highest dreams, our highest wishes, our highest ambitions. And on the right side, praise the Lord, he had already chosen this path. He was already starting to walk it in the Lord. But on the right side was that path that God had chosen for him. Listen, folks, don't go your own way. Your path leads to vainglory, pride in the flesh. And there's no amount of impressing people that will satisfy the human heart. You may think it will satisfy you in the end, but it won't satisfy you. Only Jesus and the life he has for you will satisfy your heart. And it may cost you more. It may be more painful along the way. But in the end, it is the true fulfilled life. Amen? Praise the Lord. God has terrific plans for us. If you follow Jesus, it will cost you everything. We need to start saying that more often here in the West.
Yes.
Churches here don't say that a whole lot, but it's true. And in the Middle Eastern countries, they know, because the moment they walk out of church, they may be arrested, they may be killed that day. They may not make it home to their family that day. They understand this. We don't talk about it much here in the West, but we need to more and more. Following Jesus will cost you everything. But in losing everything, you will find true life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There are sometimes I think the path that God has chosen for me does not feel like the way I would choose for myself. I know it isn't, because my flesh wants its own way, just like your flesh does. I have flesh just like you, by the way. But in the end, those who choose the path of life Jesus plans for them have a much greater fulfilled heart. Amen. And when we get to glory, we'll see it was all worth it. Amen. Paul said, how did he word it? Not to be compared. Amen. The sufferings of this life are not to even be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's your future. Amen. There's glory. In fact, when we get there, I know this isn't fair, but this is the reality. When we get there, we'll go, oh, I should have given up more. If I'd have known it was going to be this, we'll see. Wow, I would have given up so much more for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Unlike God, the devil also has a plan for your life. You know that?
Yep.
And it's good for us to stop. And this is what this message is all about today. It's just a message to pause and give thanks. Because if we had kept going the way the devil had for us, the path that he had for us. Listen, it's a terrible, terrible path. And some of you have been walking with Jesus so long, you forgot how bad it was. Because you've had so much good along the way, you forgot that terrible, bumpy road you were on to destruction. Reminds me of an old holiday movie. I'm sure you remember the lines. It goes something like this. Then he got an idea. An awful idea. The Grinch got a wonderful, awful idea. That's true of the devil. He got a good idea for your life. He got an awful idea for your life. And he would have carried it out to its fullness if Jesus hadn't stepped in. Aren't you glad today? Thankful for what Jesus did. Some of you never even fell into the pit the devil had laid out for you. Some of you had just started to fall when Jesus caught you. And some of you had been in that pit so long you had already changed the wallpaper a couple times. But either way, Jesus stepped in. Amen. I love the writing of the songwriter Andre Crouch when he wrote, "Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? We would surely have wrecked our life. Every one of us. There's not a human on this planet that's smart enough to choose the right way for their life. We all choose stupid." That's the truth. We all choose stupid. All we like sheep have gone astray. Where would I be? Could we just pause a moment and tell him thanks for that? I mean, really thank him. Ponder the place Jesus took you from. The stupidity you were walking in when he found you. The destruction. The addictions. The bondage, the stupid path you had chosen for yourself, the sinful ways you had already started to embrace to compensate for what we all cry out for, love. Jesus stepped in. Aren't you glad? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving us, Jesus. At that moment, hallelujah, for giving us the sense to say yes to you and no to sin and to the world. Hallelujah. We need to pause and ponder that more often. I mean, really think about it. I was walking the dogs early this morning, and I remembered some stages in my teenage years and stupid things that would fill my head and things that if I had carried them out, it just would have just wrecked my life, wrecked my whole life. And if I just got a little past them, I realized Jesus had wonderful things for me. Sometimes waiting just a bit. Satan knows how to tempt us just before the good stuff really arrives. Amen. And Jesus will rescue you. If you'll just be patient, he will put the good into your life that you're really hungering for. I want to tell you that wherever you're at today, Jesus is not afraid to get his hands dirty to rescue you. I was thinking about this verse. I've read it many times in Ephesians. I don't understand it fully, but it really speaks to the heart of what I'm after this morning. I want us to look at Ephesians 4, verse 9 and 10. And I have to confess, as I said, I don't have my theological bearings on this completely. I've heard different arguments. I won't even go into them today about what really happened when Jesus descended from the cross, when his spirit left his body, and where he went, what happened during those 3 days. I mean, I wasn't there. You weren't there. We don't know for sure. And honestly, I don't see in Scripture where it details. But look at, there is some picture given here in Ephesians 4, verse 9. He that ascended, we know Jesus rose from the dead. We know that he went up, right? But it tells us here, but he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same that ascended up far above the heavens that he might fill all things. I just want to say this to you. There is no sin, no life of debauchery that is so far gone, so low, that Jesus will not reach there. I believe there's something hinted at here in this scripture of the depths to which Jesus went to save humanity. He went to the lower parts of the earth. I can dig 3 inches into the ground and there's creepy crawlers in there and worms and stuff. I don't want to go any deeper. I don't know about you, but Jesus went to the lower. I don't even know what's in the lower regions of the earth, but he went to the lower regions of the earth for you and I. Amen. No low too low for Jesus to go. Amen. He has descended to the depths of humanity, and he will continue to do so in the days ahead. We're going to see people saved. We're going to see people resurrected in this life spiritually and go, wow, I thought they were too far gone. You know, there are sins on the radar, so to say, things we hear about in the news, and we just go, that kind of person's hopeless. Are they really?
No.
No depravity too low for Jesus. Amen. This is the Savior we serve. He who descended into the lowest regions of the earth. Amen. His salvation fills all in all. I love that last part. That he might fill all things. Jesus can save the lowliest. Amen. And we won't take a vote this morning as to who was lowliest when they got saved in this room. But listen, sin is sin. But Jesus will go low to save a sinful man. Never give up on anybody. Never give up. I'm blessed that we have some good friends, the Burts. And I know she shared some things here, Dr. Paula Burt, about her brother who's had some mental issues over the years. And he's been actually in prison for some things that we would go, oh man, gosh, you know, just terrible stuff. But she and her husband continually reaching out to him with the love of Jesus. Why? Because there's no human heart that has sunk so low that Jesus can't lift it up. I mean, that touches me. That really blesses me. We have to stretch our limits in our hearts as to how low Jesus will go, because he'll go to the depths. And let me say this, the enemy, this isn't the better part of my message, but I shared a little bit on this Wednesday night. I want to just reiterate it here this morning briefly. Listen, the enemy of your soul, the one who dug that pit we were talking about earlier, the one who had in mind that awful, wonderful, awful thing for your life. Listen, he still got that in mind for you. And he will work during your life and during my lifetime. He'll always continually work to try to draw us back to that thing. Jesus has freed you. Amen. Jesus has paid a tremendous price for you. Don't ever go back. Shut the door. Listen, you opened the door one time in your life. You said yes to those things. You can say no now. Jesus is your power to say no to sin. Amen. Just do it. Shut him out for good. Praise the Lord. One more verse of scripture, Colossians 1 and verse 12, and we'll wrap up things. Actually, we'll start in verse 11 there. Colossians 1, back up to verse 11. By the way, Wednesday night we start a new series. If you'd like to jump in, some of you are not Wednesday night people normally, but you might be interested. We're going to start a series on the epistles. The epistles were not the wife of the apostles. Those were letters. Letters written by the Apostle Paul. We're going to start with the book of Galatians. So starting this Wednesday night, 7 p.m. at the Rotary House on Johnson Street, 1304 South Johnson. Come join us at the Rotary House, 7 p.m. for a study on the book of Galatians. Amen. Colossians 1, are you there?
Yes.
Verse 11. We could really read the whole chapter. It's all good, but I'm going to hone in on this. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience. Ooh, there's that word we don't like to focus on much. And long suffering with joyfulness. Listen, if you're going to suffer long, you might as well do it with joy. Don't do it with a sad face. Go ahead and put a smile on. Put your Jesus smile on. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, listen, you and I just decided recently. I said, you know what? There's no way a guy like Caleb or Joshua or some of those heroes of the faith are going to outdo me in this life. That's ridiculous. They didn't even have Jesus. I got a better covenant. I got the Holy Spirit living in me 24/7. Amen. Those guys achieved some amazing things in faith. There's no way I'm going to get to heaven and be ashamed to walk up to those guys. I'm going to do what it takes in this life to walk the life of faith, to walk the road, so that when I get to heaven, they're going to be looking me up. Are you with me?
Yes.
That's what this verse is talking about. The God has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You're going to get to heaven. You're going to realize, man, I'm in this company of all these greats. Yes, you're in the company of greats because you believed. You had the good sense to follow Jesus. But look at verse 13. Who has delivered us? Amen. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Listen, I just, this message here today is, it's not anything real deep. I normally try to, you know, go a little deeper in theology and whatnot on my Sunday morning messages. But I'm just here to tell you today, Jesus rescued you.
Amen. That's right.
You've been rescued. And ain't it great?
Yes. Yes.
It's awesome.
Yes.
You have been rescued. You have been drawn out like Moses out of deep waters that would have surely swallowed you alive.
Yes.
Jesus saved your life.
Yes, you do.
Jesus saved your life.
Yes.
Where would you be if Jesus hadn't loved you? Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy suffered unimaginable horrors in the concentration camps of World War II. They had hidden some Jews in their father's clock shop there in Holland. They got caught. In fact, her father was so elderly that the German soldier said, "Listen, old man, if you'll promise not to do this anymore, we'll let you go." At least he felt a little compassion. Can you imagine? Coming from a Nazi, but he felt enough compassion to offer the guy a plea bargain. He said, "If you let me go today, I'm going to hide Jews tomorrow and the next day," and something like that. It basically, I'm not going to stop helping God's people. And so they sent her elderly father to a concentration camp. He died. Her sister, in her dying moments, worded the mouth through the hospital window to her sister Corey and said, "There's no pit so deep that he is not deeper still. Jesus is deeper. His salvation runs deeper than any pit you or I ever fall in." Amen? No matter where you're at today, some of you might be in a pit. You put on your Sunday morning best, you come here, we would never know it. And that's okay. You're in the right place. But there's no pit that any human can ever walk into that Jesus is not deeper still. He rescued us. Jesus has gone even lower than you would. Let me put it this way. Whatever sin you've done to this point, he's gone lower than that to save you. You've gone this far in your sinning. He's gone beyond. If you had taken the next step and the next step, which might be that much more horrible, wonderfully awful, Jesus has already descended beyond that to save you. Praise the Lord. He's a good Savior, isn't he?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. He loves us. He rescued us as he drew Moses out of that water. It's amazing, isn't it, that the daughter of a heathen Pharaoh could have compassion, even go against her father's laws of the land to have compassion on a baby like Moses. That's the love of the Lord. He put that in her heart. God can save you, whatever it takes. Praise the Lord. Stand together with me. I want to leave you with the words of that verse in Colossians we just read. Joyfully giving thanks. Joyfully giving thanks to the Father who rescued us. Come on, let's tell Him thanks this morning. Oh, we thank You, Jesus. We thank You so much, Lord. We thank You that You are touched by our humanness. You are compassionate beyond our comprehension. You are so loving, Jesus. And no matter what pit we have ever walked in, Lord, no matter where we have ever gone or where we're at today, Lord Jesus, You have gone deeper still in Your efforts to save us, in Your completion, the work of salvation, to lift us up, to set our feet once more on solid ground. Oh, we thank You for it, Jesus. We love You, Lord. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're here today. There's two kinds of people I want to reach out to in this request. You've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You've never been saved. This is your hour to have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. This is your moment in time to have your life turned around and to have Jesus save your soul. If that's you today, I want you to raise your hand real high. Don't be ashamed. We've all gone through this. We've all had to admit, I'm a sinner. And if you say, I'm in this house today, you're in the right place. But this is your hour to admit, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus to save me. Anybody at all, I want you to raise your hand real high. We're going to pray a prayer together as a group. I'm not going to embarrass you, but we're going to pray together to receive Jesus and give Him an opportunity to wash your sins away. Anybody at all? Or you say, I'm in a pit today and I need Jesus to lift me out. Today's my day to be lifted. Maybe you've been in the Lord, you've known the Lord, but you've been away from Him lately. You've been apart from the Father's house. You've not been in fellowship with Him. And you say, I'm coming back today. In my heart, I'm coming back into fellowship with Jesus. I'm giving Him my life anew. Anybody at all like that, just raise your hand real high. We're going to pray together and do that together. He's here to save, not to condemn. Amen. Don't you love that about Jesus? Listen, if you ever feel tempted to condemn someone, you're in public and you see someone around you who's just flat out raunchy in their attitude, just remember, you would have been there too had Jesus not saved you. He's so good. And He never condemns. He loves. Thank You, Jesus. Let's all pray this prayer together. Father, thank You for sending Jesus to rescue me, to deliver me from the pit, to lift me up to newness of life, to a wonderful life. I give You my whole life, Jesus. I surrender my all to You. You are King. You are Lord. And You're my Savior. Wash my sins away. Deliver me today from sin and evil. Lift me up. Make me Your child. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Peter said, if we're not careful, we'll forget that we were washed, that we've been forgiven. Listen, don't be forgetful today. Be mindful of the pit He lifted you from. Amen. It's a glorious salvation. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. We'll see you Wednesday night for our Galatians series.